This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get into it. There's a lot to talk about this morning when it comes to your money.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for the honey.
And she's here this morning. Anthea Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth.
How are you?
Very good, thanks. Good weekend.
Yeah, not bad. And not a bad week last week altogether on the markets. Didn't end very well on Friday, though.
No, Friday was pretty bad. We were down 1.84%. But for the week, we were up about 84 basis points. So we closed positive. Year to date, we're still down, though. We're down about 76 basis points.
Yeah.
So we've got time to catch up.
Do you think that generally there is an upward trend, though?
No, I think it's flat, I'm afraid. I really do think that this year is going to be very difficult to make money in the stock market. You know, I keep saying this over and over. It really is a stock picker's market. So I printed out the Cliff Central portfolio yesterday just because I wanted to see. We've been doing this for a year now. I kind of wanted to see where we were and what was going on because we've been choosing stocks, and it hasn't been perfect. Like, I haven't always updated it, I must admit. Sorry, my fault. But I've taken kind of the core portfolio and said, from last year when we started in February, if we'd held on to the core kind of initial portfolio, where would we be? And we were up about 9% compared
9.83.
There you go. Thank you very much.
Not bad at all. And the average on the JSE was what?
Minus 6% or somewhere around that, right?
So we've performed.
Yeah. So, and this is what I keep saying. It's a stock picker's market. So chances are your pension fund has probably suffered a bit. And this also, not only does it talk to being a stock picker's market, but also if you're going to be invested with the big guys, kind of the Coronations, the Alan Grays, you know, Coronation has 640 billion rand under management. For them to be invested in the small shares that we're invested in is quite difficult because they will move the market. They almost have to be the whole market, 640 billion rand. They almost have to be all these companies if they want to be. So for them to get outperformance, it's very difficult. But for us, it's a little bit easier. So sure, you need your pension fund kind of with the big guys and you need RA, retirement annuities. But I think if we're doing this on a daily basis and we're trading a little bit, we're buying some stocks that we really like for our own.
It's somewhere between those people who just put money into a couple of shares and leave it for 10 years and those people who change things every 15 minutes.
That's right, yeah. In between.
We're somewhere
kind of
in between. And
exactly.
I think there's money to be made, clearly. I mean, 9.83% is a hell of a performance.
Yeah, you would have gotten 4% at the bank. So
now, what's the period you used here?
So since we started on the 9th of February.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
And I did it as well because I really want to rebalance this portfolio. So in the next couple of days, I'm going to have a jig around and
I'm just looking at it now. There are a couple of not necessarily the greatest picks either, but who would have known?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we've got Aspen. We could have done without Aspen.
Yeah, we definitely could have done that.
Only three really not great shares. Otherwise, we've done very well. So Aspen could have been out. We could have done without Tongaat.
Oh, that's so annoying, eh?
And we could have done without Tor Industrial.
Yeah. Tor we're still holding on to because, you know, we're thinking that they're going to get bought out by Stellar Capital. Stellar Capital should release results on Friday, and we wait. We've been waiting for almost a month.
And Stellar Capital hasn't been great either.
No, it hasn't, but they did that big capital raise, and they've not said a single thing about what they're doing with the capital. So I think they're feverishly working in the background, and give them a chance.
All right, but then we've had some amazing picks. Like, for example, Brait, 99.43% up.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So they are good ones to be seen in the stock. So imagine, I never say this. Please don't take this as word. Don't ever put all your money in one stock.
Mm-hmm.
The chances are you could double your money like you did with Brait, or you could lose your money like you did with Aspen, which was down 37%.
Mm.
So you do need diversification, and you need time.
And how much is what kind of portfolio do you take seriously? You obviously can't deal with someone who's just investing 5,000 rand, but you also, I mean, you don't need to be in the market for 20 million rand as an individual, right?
No, not at all. So we have all sorts of products, if you like. Generally, my minimum for individuals who want to run their own portfolio, they want to have kind of chats about their portfolio, they want stock-specific picks, is about 1 million rand, and that's your portfolio, and then we run it. But we also run collective investment schemes like unit trusts and a note, a structured note, where you, for $250,000, you can invest in a structured note. There's all sorts of benefit. And then for the unit trust, 10,000 Rand is generally considered the minimum, 10,000 Rand lump sum or 1,000 Rand a month. And that actually, the reason for the minimums in the unit trust is because they're actually regulated by the administrators. So I manage the money in the unit trust, but I have administrators who look after the cash. So I never handle cash. They take the cash in, they aggregate it with the other portfolios, and they say to me, okay, today you've received an extra million, now go off and invest it, and then I decide where to invest it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not my minimum of 10,000 Rand or 1,000 Rand a month. It's the administrators. But it's a good minimum to have, you know,
sure.
Kind of, I don't know, for unitizing and for the admin that goes into it, because these things cost money to run, so you don't sure. want the cost to eat into the profits, basically.
Absolutely. All right, well, let's look at, I mean, first of all, well done on that, because our portfolio is looking very strong. Considering the market that we've just been through in the last couple of weeks, that's astonishing that we got anywhere close to 10%.
Yeah. No, I'm very proud of my stock picks.
Yeah.
Every day, this is what we do, pick stocks.
All right, let's talk about MTN, who took a battering on Friday.
Oh, my goodness. You saw that, right? The stock was down 18% on Friday.
Yes, but I don't own any MTN.
And why not?
Because you told me to get rid of
it. Does my belly own any is the question.
I hope not. Mavs, you got rid of MTN.
I listened to everything that Anthea says.
So, a couple of things about MTN. They came out late on Thursday after the market closed, putting out a trading statement saying that headline earnings per share would decline by 20%. We were expecting, or the market was expecting, in the region of a 13% decline. All this weakness really comes out of operational underperformance, if you want. Really, Nigeria is still an issue. Their fine was reduced to $3.9 billion from $5.2.
I know. Still a lot.
But, and of course, that's the risk. The risk to the upside, though, is potentially they could settle out of court before their 18th of March court date. So, and if the fine is reduced to, let's say, or they settle out of court to, let's say, $1 billion, MTN actually has a strong balance sheet. And so you could see the share jump, but it's not a chance I want to take. It's such a binary outcome, right? So either the fine stands at 3.9 and the share plummets, or they get a reduced fine and the share jumps by 15%. It's not a chance I'm prepared to take. There are a couple of other things. So the downside risk, obviously, I should say the upside risk. So if the share is going to jump, is that they do have a strong balance sheet and that Iran's now come on stream, so they could see that. And the Rand's weaker, and a weaker Rand is good for MTN. A 10% fall in the Rand translates into about a 15% earnings tailwind, because obviously they're making money offshore and they're bringing it back to South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could see the share jump, but also, either way, if it jumps 10%, I'll take my chances. I'm okay to miss out on it.
All right.
Yeah. We also had Avend release a trading update on Friday. You know, this is a company that in December did say that they were looking to print a loss. Not very exciting, I'm afraid. Headline earnings to be negative by 55 to 60 cents a share.
Wow.
This is not good. A lot of the banks, the funny thing about the share is that because it has fallen so much, a lot of the banks are saying that it's cheap. I'm afraid I'm going to stay away from it. I don't think there's any reason for the share to rally in the near term. It could, but I want to see some real change coming through. They've promised to look at unlocking value to shareholders, which means they could potentially sell their steel or their mining business. Their Grinica LTA business is still doing okay. Until management come to me and say, we're actually doing it, I'm going to hold off for a while. A lot of the banks are buying it, though, which is interesting.
Let's talk about Swiss watch exports, because obviously that affects Richemont.
Okay, yes, and we hold some of those.
Right.
That's right. Not a good month in January, I'm afraid. They released their report last week. Sales were down 8% for January. Oof. I know. So two things. The first thing is that even though the Apple Watch is not considered a luxury watch, it does seem to be eating into the lower band of these luxury watches. So where people would buy kind of the lower end of the Cartier or the IWC or Breitling, whatever it is, they're now buying Apple Watches and holding off buying the luxury watch, which is very interesting.
Now, the luxury watch is not really something that it used to just be an accessory. It's also an investment for some people.
Absolutely.
You buy a whole bunch of these expensive watches, they actually aggregate quite a lot of value over time.
And some of them are actually seen as heirlooms. I mean, that's obvious. Mm. That's certainly how they're marketing it.
Sure.
Yeah. The Swiss watch, kind of the luxury watch guys, are becoming smarter, though. So Cartier, for example, has now got a new Clé brand, like CLE range, which is very, it's plain. Like, it has no diamonds. It's made of steel and rose gold. And it sells for about 7,500 euros. So that's kind of the lower range. So they are lowering their price points, basically, to make it affordable or to make it more palatable. This is scary or interesting, actually. Yeah. I don't know if you know a watch called HYT. So it's in the same category as IWC and Breitling and Cartier and all those. And, you know, very rich people, they wouldn't just have one watch. They kind of have a few of these, and HYT falls into that category. Very kind of mechanical, strong, edgy watches for men, mostly made of titanium, palladium. They sell for about 42,000 to 55,000 euros a watch.
Wow.
It's the kind of thing I almost see Michael Flex wearing, like, you know, Michael Flex when he's very cool, kind of
that's all right.
His thing. They said in this report, or in a conference in Geneva last week, that they did not sell a single one of these watches at one of their outlets in Paris since the Paris attacks. Now, that's scary, because I think if you're selling these watches at 45,000 euros a pop, you're basically covering, just one watch covers the cost of the salesperson and probably the store. The markups are huge, of course, right? And your average wage for a salesperson in Europe is probably 22,000 euros. So that's 1,000 euros a month plus, I don't know, 7,500 euros in rent. The watch would easily cover that. But if you're not, and you're sitting on all the stock, then there's a problem.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
That is very bad.
They have not sold one since those Paris attacks in the whole of Paris.
Not one.
Yo, okay. So, and Paris is the fashion capital of the world, so that's where you're buying watches.
Yep.
I Looking at one of these watches, they can fetch for $142,000.
Mm-hmm. More than I thought.
Yeah, some of them beautiful watches, though. Wow.
Mm. They're very cool, very, very edgy.
I've never heard of them before. HYT, huh?
Mm. Not my kind of thing. They're very chunky, very...
Yeah.
Yeah. Made of titanium.
You would like these, right, Flex?
They're so cool.
Yeah, you see, I told you. I thought that would be the case.
All right. Well, let's look at some other stuff. Now, Praveen Gordon is about to have a really big week.
Uh-huh. This is his coup de grace, isn't it?
This is his moment.
Yeah.
Now, he gets to table the budget. We are expecting a lot of tough stuff to come out of him. We're expecting this not to be a very pleasant, comfortable experience for anyone.
Yeah, but he's almost defiant. So this weekend, there was a lot of news about him. The first one is that, well, there's a couple of things, but the first one that I noticed was that he's now not going to do the post-budget breakfast for SABC anymore. And why? Because apparently it was controlled by the Gupta family. So this post-budget breakfast, they would sell tickets and make money by him appearing at their breakfast, and, you know, it would all be a show, and they'd get the big people coming in,
right.
And SABC would put it on TV, and all very exciting. And he's turned around and go, no, not for you this time, which, by the way, I'm really glad about, because I got the other invitation for the real breakfast.
Which one is that?
So with ENCA and Brimstone Investments.
Okay.
So we'll be going to that post-budget breakfast on Thursday.
Which is the only one the finance minister will be appearing at.
Exactly.
Okay, but what are we expecting? Because he's likely to obviously cut spending here, there, and everywhere, and he's likely to start tidying up the treasury. But we're also probably going to have to hit some tax increases in
Absolutely.
Certain areas. There's always some of that somewhere.
So the easiest way to increase your income through tax is probably VAT. The problem with VAT is that you're taxing everybody, and you're including taxing the poor. And in an election year, I can't imagine that he will get away with it. So what he's going to do probably is increase the marginal tax rate, so personal income tax. And at the moment, it's 41%. People are talking about him pushing it up as high as 43%. I know. So if you're paying the higher tax rate, then you could see a huge increase. He's probably going to push up the fuel levy, because that's another way. That's kind of a less innocuous, if you want, way of increasing kind of the broader base of tax. A lot of people are saying that he should lower the tax band where you are, which is below, I don't actually know what this number is. So where the cutoff is.
The lowest one, yeah.
Yeah, the lowest one, because that'll, you know, increase
spending.
The base, basically, of the tax, so your tax collection. A lot of people are talking about too few people paying too little tax to cover all the social spending. I think he might not table it, but I think he's already cutting down on wastage in government. So one of the other things he's targeted this weekend, or said he's targeting, is this Gupta family Tagita coal deal that's going on. So them supplying coal to Eskom. And he said, now stop that right here, because I actually want to review all the tenders,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to start from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah, he's
fighting words.
He's defiant, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
There's also some news, because you said Sarah was in the Cape and she was busy visiting some of the big businesses down there. Truworths results presentation, Steinhoff. What do we know from then?
Okay, so let's talk about Truworths first, because their head office is in Cape Town. So she went to the results presentation. We got the results on Wednesday, I think it was. Sarah went to the actual presentation with management on Thursday. The results looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Headline earnings per share was up over 20%. Really, you know, their credit sales had increased. It was a great story. Office had contributed so much to it. But then Sarah came back on Thursday evening and said, well, actually Friday morning, she came back and she said, well, actually, now that I've spoken to management, now that I know what the real story is, the Office acquisition and why the numbers were so big was a bit of an anomaly, because actually in that number you had Black Friday and Christmas from Office, which really helped boost these earnings numbers. So they all look great. But going forward, the kind of organic growth doesn't look that wonderful. The problem as well with Truworths is that it is the most expensive clothing retailer in South Africa. So it's 3 times more expensive than Mr. Price. Foschini is about 2.7 times more expensive. And she thinks that's going to have a huge impact on where consumers shop. So would you rather pay a little bit more, 3 times more, for your pair of jeans? Or, you know, in this environment, everybody's trying to cut back. So she thinks that's going to be one of the problems, is that they aren't able, they're printing a lot of excess costs. So wages are going up, trading space is going up, electricity is going up, the inflation, and also they import a lot of clothing, Truworths does. So she's worried that they won't be able to pass this inflation onto the consumer, which is kind of us, you know, and then they'll take a hit. So her preferred pick in the sector at the moment is Foschini, just because they're slightly more, they're less expensive, and also because they don't import as much clothing as Truworths does.
All right.
And then Steinhoff. Oh, this is an odd one, because actually I woke up on Saturday morning to a news article about Steinhoff is making a bid for a London-listed retailer called Argos. I don't know if you know them. They're huge. They have 800 stores in the UK. You go there to buy anything from jewelry to vacuum cleaners, televisions, kettles, you name it.
Wow, okay.
Kids' clothing, kids'
sounds like
toys.
The Walmart of England.
Yes, it is, actually. That's exactly what it is, Argos. Their listed name is Home Retail Group. So you know Steinhoff have now listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Now, this was very odd for me on Saturday morning, because I didn't see any sense. If you're going to make a big thing about it, if you're going to make such a big acquisition, you need to let your shareholders know, and you need to let them know on a platform that all shareholders have access to, mm-hmm. not just some newspaper article. Basically, Steinhoff are bidding up against Sainsbury's, this is the big food retailer in the UK, to buy these Argos stores, and they're looking to pay in the region of £1.4 billion. Exactly.
A lot of money.
That's right. And so the thing is that, firstly, I mean, the last big acquisition they made was Pepkor in 2014. And Marcus Yuster actually turned around and said, you know, from here on out, we're probably going to grow organically rather than acquisitively. And now he's making this big play and going up against Sainsbury's and paying a premium for it. I think we'll see the stock, the share come down today because of it.
Oh, really? So yeah. if you had some Steinhoff, you'd get rid of it.
Well, I do have some Steinhoff, so I need to get back to the office and watch the market at 9 o'clock. The problem is we don't know whether or not this acquisition is going to be earnings dilutive or earnings accretive. We have no information. And I hate making knee-jerk reactions.
Strange way for them to behave.
It is a little bit odd.
Okay. Oh, Mark.
Did you see the story about how Britain are now going to go into this big vote on whether or not they should leave the EU?
Yes, the big Brexit vote. Like, they can't decide. Can they win? Is it? It's like the 18th of March or something.
Well, they're not going to have a referendum, yeah.
Yeah. Big news. I don't know how I feel about that. I undecided, I think.
It might just be very good for the currency, for the pound.
Sterling. Oh. Probably, right?
Well, you're not tied in.
The thing is, you want to know how much it impacts your trade deals. So if they now exit, are they going to have to do less trade with Europe than before? Mm. And if so, well, then it's not good for income. It's not great. Yeah.
Any other things that we need to look at?
No, it's a pretty busy week, actually. Lots of results today. We've got Avenge. No, that's Tuesday. Sun International. We've got Brait. We've got Stella, as I said. We've got Discovery, Massmart. Wow, the list is endless. It's a busy week.
All right. Well, this is impressive. I'll look at our portfolio grow, Mavs. 9.83% over a year.
Well, in this market, compared to a negative 6%. I would prefer a little bit more, but in a negative 6% environment, I'll take it.
And I think it's damn fine. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
All right, very good.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Anthea.
This is CliffCentral.com.